I'm going to be reading from Galatians chapter 2, verses 11 through 21. Galatians chapter 2, 11 through 21. But when Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he had clearly done wrong. Until certain people came from James, he had been eating with the Gentiles. But when they arrived, he stopped doing this, and he separated himself because he was afraid of those who were pro-circumcision. And when the rest of the Jews also joined with him in this hypocrisy, so that even Barnabas was led astray with them by their hypocrisy. But when I saw that they were not behaving consistently with the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas in front of them all, "If you, although you are a Jew, live like a Gentile and not a Jew, how can you try to force the Gentiles to live like Jews? We are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners, yet we know that no one is justified by the works of the law, but by the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. And when we have come to believe in Jesus Christ, so that we may be justified by the faithfulness of Christ and not by the works of the law, because by the works of the law no one will be justified. And if while seeking to be justified in Christ, we ourselves have also been found to be sinners, is Christ then the one who encourages sin? Absolutely not. But if I build up again those things I once destroyed, I demonstrate that I am one who breaks God's law. For through the law, I died to the law so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So that the life I now live in the body, I live because of the faithfulness of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside God's grace, because if righteousness could come through the law, then Christ died for nothing."
We're glad to have you today, thankful for your presence with us, and we hope that what we study together will be a blessing. Keep your Bibles open to the words that Luke read for us. We particularly want to focus, Lord willing, this evening, we're going to focus on more of those words, beginning with Galatians 2, verse 11. But particularly today, we want to focus on this section in Galatians 2 and verse 20. And this is a verse that we've sought to encourage you to remember this week. And we're going to divide it into four simple parts. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We're going to seek to do that in the sermon this morning. The words, "I have been crucified with Christ," are in Greek two words, though they are in English six words. Now, one thing that's interesting is if you look at a Greek text, actually those words, "I've been crucified with Christ," are generally listed as part of verse 19. Now, that's interesting. How relevant is it? I don't know, because it's still there, whether it's the end of verse 19 or it's the first of verse 20. But one point about associating it with verse 19 is it may help us to associate with the first part of that sentence, or first part of that verse, "For through the law, I died to the law, so that I might live to God, I have been crucified with Christ." This word, "I have been crucified with Christ," is a compound word that's used only five times in the New Testament, including here. Three of those other times deal with those criminals who were crucified beside of Jesus. In Matthew, in Mark, in John, those references on the projector. I have been crucified with Christ. To be crucified with Christ is to take the position that those criminals did at his right and his left. I have been crucified with Christ. Strong language. A shocking wording of this passage, and a shocking wording for its description in Paul's life. But there are similar kind of things that are used to talk about this kind of effort to dethrone self from the center of our life and to make Christ the focal point. In Matthew 16, verse 24, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Mark chapter 8:34 says the same thing. Luke 9 verse 23 adds, "Deny yourself and take up your cross daily and follow me." Maybe crucifixion, which we know as a painful death, is particularly a fitting picture for the Christian's life, for the disciples' life, because sometimes putting the flesh to death and centering our lives on Christ is going to be a painful process. It's not going to be an easy process. Jesus described it in the Sermon on the Mount as cutting off our hand or plucking out our eye. It is a painful process, but we must go through it in order to enthrone Christ in our lives. I have been crucified with Christ. I want you to notice a couple of times in the book of Galatians that similar language is used to talk about our death to the world, our death to the passions of sin. Look, for example, at Galatians 5 and verse 24. Galatians 5, verse 24. "Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." He talks in verse 19 about the deeds or the works of the flesh. And the Bible tells us in verse 24 that we who belong to Christ crucify the flesh. Can you look at that list and say, "I have been crucified with Christ"? In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14, "May it never be that I should boast, or I would boast, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." Sometimes we sing a song at baptism, "Dead to the world, the voices that call me." Are we dead to the world? Have we crucified ourselves and dethroned ourselves from the center point in life? I have been crucified with Christ. Now, I gave you the four verses where that phrase "crucified with," or that word translated "crucified with," are used in the New Testament. One we did not touch upon was Romans 6. And let me invite you to open your Bibles here. Romans 6, encourage you to open your Bibles here. Verse 6 particularly says, "Knowing that our old self was crucified with him, in order that the body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin." But I want you to notice in context that this is talking about the place that baptism plays in crucifying ourselves with Christ. Look at verse 3. "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with Him in the likeness of His death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, our old self was crucified with Him in order that the body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves of sin. In baptism, we are consciously imitating the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus. We've died with Christ, we're buried with Him in baptism, and we're raised to walk a new life. We're dead to the world. We're dead to those passions that once did enthrall us. But baptism plays a key part in this death and resurrection to a new life. Plays an important part in being crucified with Christ. Baptism highlights the importance of the death and burial and resurrection in our salvation and unites us with them. Have you been crucified with Christ? Have you been buried with Him in baptism? I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Paul said in Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ. Here he says, it's no longer I who live. It's not about my desires and my dreams and my aspirations. It is about Christ. The focus is Him. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. When Paul was talking about the Galatians, one of his goals in preaching and teaching to them in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 19 was that Christ would be formed in you. So of himself, he wants to say, Christ lives in me. He wants this to be said of the other disciples that he's preaching to. And his purpose in preaching and teaching is that Christ be formed in him. But all of this is showing us an intimate connection between the believer and our Lord. I have been crucified, and Christ lives in me. Sometimes when the Bible is describing our intimate relationship with Christ, it uses the language of us being in Christ. You know, that language is used over 150 times in the epistles of Paul. Us being in Christ. And it often describes the Spirit as dwelling within us. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 in verse 14. Now, whether the Bible talks about us being in Christ, like in this epistle, Paul said in Galatians 1:22, I was unknown by sight to the churches of Judea which were in Christ. Whether we talk about the phrase in Christ, whether we speak of the indwelling of the Spirit, whether we speak of Christ dwelling in us, or whether we talk about living in the Spirit, they all point to the same reality of an intimate communion between the believer and our Lord. And Paul says, I have been crucified to such an extent that it's not about me. It is about Him. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And we give ourselves to His interest, to His agenda, to His pleasures. And one of the things I sent out last night to our light post May God help us to live this verse. I don't know how easy you do memory work, but this verse is easier to remember than it is to live. And that's true for every one of us. I have been crucified with Christ. I am dethroned as the Lord of my life, and He is in that place. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. Now, the life that I now live in the flesh, let me say something about that word flesh. That word flesh is often used in a different way than this in the book of Galatians. For example, in Galatians 3:3, look over the page. Are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit? Are you now being perfected by the flesh? So the flesh is in opposition to the Spirit. We see the same kind of use of the word flesh in Galatians 5. In Galatians 5 and verse 16, for example. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. Now the word flesh in Galatians 3:3 and Galatians 5 and verse 16 is used in the sense of things that are at war with God's Spirit. You may have noticed before the works of the flesh, Galatians 5:19, that we referenced. That is not how the word flesh is used here. It is used, as was used in Luke's translation, of like our mortal body. That's the idea. The point is, we are in the flesh in the sense that we live in this world where we have a flesh and bone body, and we are subject to the trials of this world. We are subject to the temptations of this world. We are subject to the frailties of this life. Being crucified with Christ, saying Christ lives in me, and making that our focus doesn't eliminate that we will have problems, that we will have difficulties, that we will have trials. And he said, the life that I now live in the flesh. Now that word now may be significant as well. It may be in your pre-Christian life, you simply lived the way you wanted to live and did what you wanted to do. And you didn't care about who it helped and who it hurt. You didn't care about how other people responded. That may have been then. But that can't be now. Can't be now. The life I now live in the flesh is a life that is based on the Son of God. I live by faith in the Son of God. Our life is Christ living in us. Our life is lived in faith in Christ. It shapes how we live in the present. It inspires us for hope in the future. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. And our last line, who loved me and gave himself for me. He loved me. We may have mentioned before that in the Gospel of John, John speaks of himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. Now, I've heard people object before. Isn't that an arrogant way to refer to yourself? The disciple whom Jesus loved. Well, words like that could be used that way, but I'll tell you how they also could be used. And I think this is the explanation for that. John was saying that not to promote himself, but because he could never get over the wonder of the fact that Jesus so loved him. And I think Paul is saying the same thing here in Galatians 2, verse 20. He is awed at the idea that Jesus loved him. And he says that not simply in his words, but he demonstrates that by him giving his blood for us, as Alan mentioned earlier. His life for us. No greater love, John 15, verse 13, has a man than this, but that he lay down his life for his friends. This is the ultimate demonstration of love. And the Bible says, he loved me. He loved me and gave himself for me. All of these passages that you see are passages that speak of Jesus giving himself. There are passages of Scripture, plenty of them, that speak of the Father giving the Son. But there are also passages that speak of the Son giving himself. I want you to imagine this just for a moment, and this is going to be difficult because I'm asking you to imagine. It's going to be difficult when you're listening to someone else to do this. But imagine just a moment that you were the only person in the world. You're the only person in the world that God created, and you had sinned. And you had disobeyed God, Jesus still loved you so much that he would have come if it was only you. He loved me and gave himself for me. And every person is that loved, that desired, we might even say in a good way, coveted by God. And because he loved me and gave himself for me, it is much easier for me to entrust myself to him, to get myself off the throne of my life. I am crucified with Christ. To make him the center of my life. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. To make him, in the midst of our trials, in the midst of our troubles, to say, the life that I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Our purpose of trying to memorize that passage is to put those words in our mind and in our hearts that they may change our lives. May God help us to do that. Let us pray. Oh Lord our God, we stand in awe of how you've loved us and what you've done to save us. Words cannot adequately express our thanksgiving to you. But may we show our thanksgiving by living for Him who died for us. Help us, O God. Bring us home to Yourself. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Have you died and been buried and been raised with Jesus in baptism? That's a big step, Romans 6 says, in crucifying ourselves. Maybe you need more information about baptism. Please feel free to ask afterwards. We want you to. We want you to if you've got more questions. But that's a very important point. In crucifying ourselves, in dying to ourselves, in living to Him. And we offer this song at this time to give you an opportunity that if you want to publicly profess your faith and be baptized in Christ, a faith that would demonstrate a turning from your sins and repentance and confessing Him, being baptized, if you want to do that, we'd be glad to help as we stand and as we sing.